If you've ever followed a court case, then you know what a witness is. Witnesses are sworn to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help them God, about what they have seen and heard. They give testimony to help a judge or a jury make their decisions. Today, in the book of Revelation, Jesus is called a faithful witness. He's also the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. He reigns from God's heavenly throne room, but it's that image of Jesus as faithful witness that grabbed me this week. If you've never heard the book of Revelation before, you might have been listening as Holly was reading and thought, what in the world was that? That was weird. For the book of Revelation is in fact a very strange book. It uses symbols and images, sometimes dreamlike sequences, to tell us about a reality that is not immediately apparent to our naked eyes. And the center of that reality is this. The world, for all its suffering, the world for all its brokenness, the world for all its sinfulness still belongs to God and still is ruled by Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Jesus tells that truth. Jesus shows that truth, for Jesus is nothing but the truth, because in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Today on Christ the King Sunday, we are charged to remember what it means to follow Jesus, the truth, what it means to be ruled by the truth, and what it means to be citizens of this kingdom. Not the United States of America, but citizens of the kingdom of God. And today, thinking about the way that that image of Jesus as faithful witness grabbed me, I think the question for us is, what testimony does Jesus make about what this kingdom is like? What truth is he showing about God as it's wrapped up in the ideas of reign and kingdom? To dig into this, let's look at our gospel from the Gospel of John, which I just read a few minutes ago. Jesus here has been arrested. This is a literal court case. Jesus, as both accused and witness, taking the stand in his own trial before the Roman governor Pilate. The charge against him is that he claims to be a king, which Rome does not like. Because you cannot have two rulers running around on the same territory. People might get confused and forget who's really in charge. So Pilate, the Roman governor, asked Jesus a question. Are you a king? And to that, Jesus gives his testimony. My kingdom's not from this world. My kingdom does not obey the rules of this world. Is what he's really trying to say. My kingdom is not in rebellion against God. If it were, his followers would do what? They'd be rising up with violence to keep him from being handed over. If his kingdom were from this world, his followers would raise their swords in self-defense. If his kingdom were from this world, his followers would be ready to kill. The testimony positively that Jesus is making is that his kingdom is one of peace and nonviolence. Doesn't kill in self-defense. Jesus offers himself up to be crucified, which looks for all the world like the way of weakness. Jesus says no to the way of violence and suffers death. But God says yes to the way of Jesus and raises him from death, seats him at the right hand of the Father, where Revelation tells us he continues to live in power to give his faithful witness. think that's worth meditating on, each of us. What does it mean to be citizens of a kingdom that rejects violence? If we were witnesses in court, and a prosecuting attorney were to ask, tell us, what do you think about this kingdom Jesus talks about? What will we say? Where exactly do we stand on the kingdom of God? On the cross as God's best plan to save and redeem us? I don't know about you, but there's something in me that squirms when I think about such questions. Jesus says elsewhere in the Gospels that we always must be ready to make our defense when questioned, but I think if I were on the witness stand and be asked, so tell us, Kimberly Vandriel, what do you think about the kingdom of God? I think I might hem and haw a bit. Say, oh, well, you know, it's kind of complicated. The world has some very bad people in it. Sometimes you have to make your choices between the lesser of two evils, and well, I'm not Jesus. That was one thing when it was him, but we're not him. I don't know about you, I'm always doing that, hemming and hawing on the word of God, wanting to get out from under its claims, wanting it not to be quite so, I don't know, radical, so different from what I know. I'd like to put forward a few compromises. Explain that Jesus' testimony can't really work in this fallen world. There's got to be just some other way to compromise with it. But the strange thing about the Word of God is that it doesn't call us to do what works in this world. The Word of God does not compromise. The Word of God, instead, the testimony of Jesus, calls us to what's moral. It calls us to the truth. It summons us to a life that's shaped by the cross, the sign of God's own kingdom, which wins by losing. Jesus summons us into that pattern, trusting his witness and inviting us to live with the abiding sense that in the reign of God, there are actually some things that are worse than death. That's why Jesus is the faithful witness, because he lives uncompromisingly in ways that we do not. In a few minutes, we'll baptize little Rowan, and as we do, we'll have the opportunity to once again make our testimony about the kingdom of God. We'll be asked whether we renounce the devil and all his empty promises, renounce the ways of sin that draw us from God, reject the ways of the world that rebel against Christ's reign of peace. What is your answer to that? We'll ask, what is your testimony? And the baptismal party and some of the people of God together will say, I renounce them. I renounce them. I tell every family that comes to me to discuss a baptism that this is actually a pretty cool moment, because it's the one place where we get to be really, really clear, all of us, that we really want to be in the kingdom, that we want to give solid testimony with Christ about what it means to be part of God's reign of peace, that we want to be on the side of good in a messed up world. Of course, within 5 minutes, we'll have discovered that our renunciations float away like dirt washed away in the water. And here we'll go, contradicting all of ourselves again, messing up so that it will not last. But in the water of baptism, Jesus is and remains the faithful witness. He gathers us to his own death and resurrection, choosing this way, nevertheless, to bring us into his kingdom. The sign of our rejection, the sign of his cross, becomes for us, for Rowan, a sign of life. The emblem of how God really works and how the kingdom really is, despite our compromises. This is how he reigns. and his peaceful rule, as John through Revelation saw, his peaceful rule still is at the center of reality. And one day it will be all in all. With every baptism, with every word, "Do you renounce?" we get a chance again to make the sign of the cross on our own foreheads, on our own hearts, the way witnesses place their hands on scriptures in courtrooms and promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Today, as those questions are asked, I invite you to make that sign of the cross. And remember that Christ invites you into a life of faithful testimony. We'll walk out of here perhaps messing up yet once again, but in the power and the word, the water of baptism, we will once again be drawn into that peaceful kingdom until that day when we, with him, are its faithful witnesses. Amen.